Escape from New Jersey is the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your other co-host, John Trumbull.
How you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, Darren?
I'm all right. It's just, we're back in the swing of things.
Season premiere, baby!
We did it! Woo!
Let's just breathe into the mic for 40 minutes.
Yeah, that'll be the episode. Just hot breath on the mic.
Yeah.
Yes, masquerading as applause.
Yes.
There's a niche for it. I'm sure there's got to be something somewhere.
Yep.
But yeah, we're back in the swing of things, back into reviewing episodes. This feels weird. It's like we're like back at school type of thing.
I know. I said before we were on mic, I got very used to our summer format.
Yeah.
And it's weird just like, oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
I remember like watching the show late Saturday night and taking notes and then rewatching some episodes Sunday morning before I come over.
Yeah, back in the swing of things.
Yeah. Right?
It's like the first year was our freshman year. Now we're back as sophomores.
That's right. That's right.
Sophomore year. We're doing it, guys.
That's right. And there's even like another SNL podcast that started up. So they're like the freshman SNL podcast now.
Yeah, we bully them around.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of my way, nerd.
We're calling you out, SNL Super Friends.
Woo! Ooh, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, hot fire.
Yeah.
Hot fire. That's right.
We're
the guys with the Letterman jackets now.
That's right.
Just strutting down the hallway like
stuffing people into lockers.
Yeah, like a real Zach Morris.
Yeah.
Or a Flash from Spider-Man. One of the
sure.
Both.
And any high school bully, really.
Yeah. Anybody. Yeah. The guy from The Karate Kid, that other blonde guy.
Yeah.
You know, any of them.
Yeah. William Zabka.
Who?
Guy from The Karate Kid.
Oh. I was about to say Gesundheit.
Yeah.
But yes. Okay. All right.
But anyway, we're here to talk about the season.
We're not here to talk about bullies.
We're also here to talk about the SNL season 45 premiere.
Yes.
From September 28th, 2019, Woody Harrelson hosting, Billie Eilish musical guesting.
Yeah, I know. First episode of the season, expectations high.
Yep.
Expectations met.
Yeah, it's a good time for SNL to come back. It was kind of a slow news week. Let's face it.
Yeah, and I don't think anything happened.
Not much of anything happened.
No. Pretty.
I'm trying to think of the big news stories of the week, and
nothing. Just tumbleweeds.
Spider-Man's back in the MCU. That's good. You know, so.
There
so
you
that's,
go.
That's cool.
That's great.
That's cool.
What else happened?
President got impeached.
What? When did it?
There's an impeachment inquiry. So
you know, I think I did hear something about that.
There was something like buried about that on page 29.
Yeah, it's like page 6 or something. Yeah. Oh, you know what? Yeah. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
I do remember
that. So I guess the show had a little material to work with.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I don't know. I mean, I'd be surprised if they comment on it at all, really, because it's such a...
Yeah, they got to really turn water into wine here.
Yeah,
But yeah, cold open, Alec Baldwin as Trump again...
the tone in your voice. Alec Baldwin as Trump again.
I don't know.
So exhausted with Baldwin's Trump.
I really am. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Honestly, at this point, I think a lot of the audience people aren't really crazy about it either.
It doesn't have the novelty that it had back in 2016.
It does not.
Where it was just like, where everybody thought, oh, he's just going to play Trump.
Yeah.
And the run-up to the election, we'll have fun with this.
Yeah.
It's just some fun stunt casting. Alec's a friend of the show. He'll come in, and then Kate McKinnon will have job security for the next 4 years as Hillary.
And lo and behold.
And everybody was just shocked to hell.
Yeah.
And
best laid plans.
And, I mean, it's really funny because it's like at the end of the season or when the show's about to go on hiatus, they basically do a goodbye sketch to Trump because they don't know what the... F is going to happen, like if
no
he's still going to be around, because we're, you know, it's been so chaotic.
Yeah, it's been cuckoo bananas time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's Baldwin as Trump, McKinnon as Giuliani.
Yep.
A.D. Bryan as Barr.
She hasn't played Barr before, has she?
I think she has. Has she?
Okay.
Did she?
I was trying to remember.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure she. Or maybe she played another dude.
Yeah. I mean, like SNL, they enjoy trolling Trump because apparently it bothers him that people in his administration are played by women a lot on the show, so I think they consciously are casting women, as many women as possible.
I'm all for
it. Men, and yeah.
And then we have Moffat and Day as the Trump boys.
I enjoy them still.
Yeah, they still get a chuckle at me. Yeah. Bowen Yang was there as Kim Jong-un.
Right. Big applause for Bowen Yang. New featured cast member, Bowen Yang.
He's cold open. And Chris Redd was in as Kanye, and Kenan Thompson was in as Don King. And basically, it's just Trump calling all these people about impeachment and being worried about
he's
it.
He's in a panic.
Yeah.
He's
in a fervor, or whatever you call it.
A furor,
yeah. Oh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, double meaning there. Yeah. That was not intentional. But,
was it not? Wow, I thought you did intentionally.
If the jackboot fits.
Zig Heil.
Yeah.
And so he's all worried and flustered about the impeachment, and then somebody mentions, and also who else is it?
Cecily
as Jeanine Pyro.
Yeah,
he coaxes his ego, saying, "Oh, who's the guy that all makes all the women eyes pop out and go auga?
It's you, sir.
You dumps
like a truck. What?
Yeah, I was like, you're making a Cisco reference in 2019.
Yeah,
But then
Republicans, they are hip and they are in touch with the young people.
They are with it.
Yeah.
And then they say, there's one person you can call to make this all go away. So then Trump calls Liev Schreiber.
Yeah.
And then Liev Schreiber says, "Mr. President, I'm not Ray Donovan."
Right.
And then that's pretty much it. I don't know. This old cold open was, I was not wild about it.
It was just kind of a roll call of all the various
cast
of characters. I thought it was fine. It wasn't.
It's kind of lazy.
It wasn't the most creative thing they could have done. I don't know if I would go as far to call it lazy, but it was very expected.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I guess. And that's another thing, too. Like, Alec Baldwin always says, "Oh, I don't want to play Trump anymore. I don't want to do this anymore."
Yeah.
And then he just goes ahead and does it. So, what are you doing? I don't know.
I think it's like path of least resistance at this point. I mean, it's
did he sign like a contract where he has to do it, or are they going to like,
I don't,
murder his kids or something? Like, why does he keep doing it?
I don't think so. I don't think SNL has a policy of threatening to murder people's children.
But you don't know that for sure.
I don't know that for sure. I don't know the inner workings of the show.
Mm.
I have no insider knowledge. I'm just guessing
that
maybe as a matter of course, they don't threaten to murder kids.
You got to read that fine print.
Who knows? I understand those first-year contracts are very...
legally binding.
Yeah. maybe Lauren gets the firstborn. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yes. Yeah, that's how we stay so young. Oh, Jesus. What am I... This is going down a dark way. I apologize, people.
This was kind of fun. I enjoy seeing Alex Moffat and Mikey Day as the Trump sons. I enjoy seeing... Cecily Strong and Jeanine Pirro.
Yeah.
Those I haven't gotten sick of yet. Baldwin's Trump, I'm kind of tired of it, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, how much longer is he going to be around? So who knows?
I guess... I don't know. I just wasn't crazy about this cold one.
Yeah.
I feel
like...
kind of weak.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, Baldwin's in it till the end, till the better end.
I guess so.
And it's like the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, I guess.
So.
But I don't know. Whatever. So then we have the openings, and we have our new cast members have their open.
Yeah, and they added a 45 to the opening. Did you notice that?
Yes, I did notice that.
Saturday Night Live 45. I'm sure that was just to show their support of President Trump in this trying time.
Of course.
Because
he needs our support now.
Right,
more than ever.
Right. And, they were just like, "Hey, Donald, this is all in fun."
Yeah.
You were looking off into the corner of the studio.
Oh, no, I see. I think there's like a spider in the ceiling.
There is. There is a spider crawling along the ceiling, or a bug of some kind.
It's fine. It just caught my eye. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Now I'm really spooked.
Thank you very much. Sorry. I didn't freak you out. Sorry. I was just like, what? Whoa.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Frank,
I was just talking. I see your eyes like just going upward.
No, I'm listening, man.
Yeah.
Frank, feel free to cut all this out if you want.
Yeah.
But the 45, and like when we have our new cast members, Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang, they got added in.
Added to the opening. And we have Heidi Gardner and Chris Redd in the main cast.
Because
they've been bumped up to regular cast members.
Yeah, well deserved, so, I think. I thought they were.
Yeah, like, congratulations to both of them. Yeah. I agree. Well deserved.
Yeah, the first year was pretty, like, especially for Heidi. I thought that was really strong for,
yeah,
for her.
Yeah, she really strong.
Like, she hit that ground
first year
running.
And she got a lot of opportunities that a lot of people. A lot of first-year cast members don't typically get, I think. So,
I'll give
she
you
made
that.
The most of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
So then the opening monologue, Woody Harrelson comes out in a tuxedo.
In a tux. He's talking about how he's a fashionista now.
Right.
Because he was just on the cover of Esquire, I think it was.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't quite get this premise that
it was
like,
weird.
Okay, is this Woody Harrelson's a fashionista? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it was a weird monologue because he talked about being a fashionista and how he's all about fashion now. And
yeah.
But then he kind of segued into how, you know, there's still problems with the world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the climate change and the water's undrinkable.
Yeah.
But I'm a fashionista now, so I really don't care about that anymore. And I was like, what?
Yeah, yeah. And he takes off the tux at one point. He's got some silk PJs underneath.
Yeah, he has silk pajamas underneath it. And then they kind of segue into this part where it's like about kind of him being like more, I guess, being PC or like PC culture type of. It was.
Yeah, he was talking about immigrants at some point, and he's saying these inadvertently offensive things.
But then he apologized for it immediately.
Right. Like, you know, and at one point he said, like, oh, I can say that because I'm Asian, Caucasian.
Right. Yeah, because he said something about Asians, you know, kind of coming over. But it's like, oh, no, I know how that might sound. I apologize for that. But, you know, like, my wife is Asian, my kids are Asian, and I'm Asian, Caucasian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's kind of like a dad joke.
Yeah.
It was weird. He said all this while wearing silk pajamas.
Yeah.
It was a weird, like, left turn, the whole thing.
It was odd. It was odd, yeah.
It was like the whole monologue was written by two different people with two different ideas, and they just mashed them together.
It felt like they just didn't really know what to have him say.
Yeah. You
know, it's like his fourth time hosting, and it was just like, okay, well, what do we do with Woody Harrelson? Oh, he's been on the cover of this magazine. I guess we'll say he's a fashionista now.
Yeah, but and also I thought maybe that whole PC, you know, offending people, because he said, at one point he said, oh, I don't pussyfoot around.
Right.
And then I apologize that I might have offended people who actually have pussy 4 feet.
Right.
Like, I was wondering, was this whole thing, like, their way of sort of talking about, but not really talking about the whole Shane Gillis thing?
Maybe. It might have been a veiled commentary on that, but it wasn't. Whatever it wasn't clear.
Yeah.
And it was weird because the show didn't really comment on the Shane Gillis thing at all.
No, not at all.
Besides that. And I was frankly kind of expecting that to be addressed in some fashion, but they really just ignored it.
But yeah.
Kind of surprising.
Yeah, this monologue, I mean, I didn't totally hate it, but I was like, I wasn't crazy about it. I was like, I don't know what you guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys are doing here.
Yeah. So the show got off to like kind of a weak start, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Rocky start.
Opening sketch, we had the impeachment town hall,
yes.
Which was basically a spoof of the Democratic debates that we've been having over the summer.
Right.
With 10 candidates here, we had. You want me to just run them down?
Go for it.
Okay. We had Beto O'Rourke, who is played by Alex Moffat. Who's they say he's the guy who tragically misread our enthusiasm for him. Then we had Bowen Yang as Andrew Yang,
hey.
Who's like, I'm giving away free money and I'm still in sixth place. We had Cory Booker, played by Chris Redd, where they just said, would you like to leave now to beat traffic?
he's like, yes, I would.
Yes, thank you very much. And then finally we had Pete Buttigieg.
Jost.
As Colin Jost.
Your favorite.
Yeah, you know, a warm body to put in the sketch. And then finally we had Marianne Williamson, played by new cast member Chloe Fineman, who said she was appearing live via astral projection.
Yeah.
Which that was cute, and Chloe did a nice job with that.
Yeah,
I like her.
Yeah,
I mean, this was the most we saw of her. Throughout the night, I think.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, she was at a pre-tape, but
yeah.
As far as sketch go, this was like her big, big moment.
This was it. And then they quickly shunted all those guys off to the side, and they said, and now let's get to the real candidates. And then they went to the Democratic front runners. So we had Kate McKinnon as Elizabeth Warren.
Right.
I enjoy hearing Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like her voice. Like Will Ferrell doing his Harry Carey impression, but not with the
not
a slurry.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah. I'm Elizabeth Warren. All right.
Elizabeth Warren seems very much in Kate's wheelhouse. So
yeah.
I look forward to seeing her develop that more over the next year.
Yeah. I'm fun, guys. I'm like a brisk walk.
Yeah. Then we had, as Bernie Sanders, Larry David returning to the show.
Hey, Larry D.
It says, I'm excited to be back and ruin things a second time. Honestly, at this point, I think I just want Bernie Sanders to stay in the race so we can keep getting Larry David as Bernie Sanders on SNL.
I'm fine with that.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed him. Let's see. And then we had Joe Biden, who's Woody Harrelson in some fake teeth.
Yeah, big old fake teeth.
Apparently, I guess Joe Biden got his teeth whitened, which I can't say I've noticed, but
I have not noticed that.
The show is harping on that.
All right.
He said, I see you, I hear you, I sniff you, I hug you from behind.
Mm.
So creepy Uncle Joe.
Yeah, I know. I thought they get Sudeikis, but you know, Harrelson does a good Biden too.
It was okay. It wasn't on a par with Sudeikis's Biden, right. But you got to give something for the host to do.
I hear you. Yeah,
and I hear you.
I see you.
Yes. And then lastly, as Kamala Harris, we had Maya Rudolph.
Hey!
Maya Rudolph coming back to the show.
Yeah, the internet has been clamoring for her to do this for a while now, and it's a pretty perfect fit. I mean, she kind of looks like her.
There's enough resemblance.
Yeah, she has the SNL background, and like I thought she was really good. I thought she kind of knocked it out the park.
Yeah, it's kind of like when Tina Fey did Sarah Palin as like the audience caster.
Yeah, when people wanted Larry David to be Bernie Sanders.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think like SNL just going to the Twitter to see who they should cast for people now.
Well, I mean, if there's enough buzz and the audience has that much passion for it, why not do it?
Yeah.
And she talks about how she was a fun aunt, a funt.
Right.
She's a smooth-talking lady lawyer.
Yeah. And then she cut to the camera.
Right.
Yeah, I thought she was great. See, when I saw the sketch, I liked the sketch, and I was like, why wasn't this the cold open? Because this was way better.
It was definitely a stronger sketch.
Like this was a way. This would have been a way better way to start the show. Why was like I don't know.
I think just because the impeachment thing is such a huge story, I think they had to hit on Trump in the cold open somehow.
Yeah, but I mean, they didn't seem to have much to say about it, though. That's the thing.
No, they didn't. But they did it, so
so it's done.
So it is a thing that they did.
It is done. All right. But yeah, I mean, this sketch I liked a lot better. I saw this one line that Biden had where he said, you know, I'm like plastic straws. I've been around forever. I've always worked. But now you're mad at me?
Yeah, that was a great line.
That was a great line.
I enjoyed that.
He got an applause break for that.
And that was it worked for both Biden and plastic straws. I think that sums it up nicely for both of those things.
Absolutely.
Maya as Kamala Harris, she had a recurring thing where she was like promoting like strong lady lawyer shows on USA or
Corn Pop
or TNT
or USA. Yeah.
And that was a cute bit. You know, it's interesting to see like some of the ringers in there that SNL recruits.
Right.
I'm now thinking, judging by what happened in 2016, that now like one of these stunt cast people is going to be our next president.
Oh.
Like that once again, the show is going to be caught unawares, and it's going to be like Bernie or Kamala or Woody Harrelson as Joe Biden. So it's going to be one of those three.
We shall see, I guess.
And then SNL will just be forced to bring those people back week after week after week.
Like 2020 comes around, it's like, yeah, Larry, can we have a word with you? Can you come in every Friday or something?
Because would we be lucky enough to have like the character played by Kate McKinnon win? Probably not. Because Kate's probably not going to be on the show too much longer.
I guess not. I mean, she's been around for a bit. Yeah.
And
I don't know. We'll see.
We're not lucky enough to live in a world where Kate McKinnon has that kind of job security.
No, not this world.
No.
This world is about to blow up any minute.
But this was a strong sketch. What do you think? Sketch of the night? It might be one of my sketches of the
night. It's tied for another sketch I really like, but we'll talk about that later.
All right, we'll find
out.
But
I like this one quite a bit.
Okay. Anything else to say about this one?
No, I got Bupkis.
Then let's move on. Next, we had Suns Out Nevada, where we had Cecily Strong as a roving reporter. She was Joe on the go, and she's at the world's largest Cheeto Museum grand opening with the Hodder family.
Yay.
And it's Woody Harrelson and Aidy Bryant as his wife. And who was the son?
Their son was Day.
Mikey Day. And they've put their life savings into doing the world's largest Cheeto Museum.
Yes.
They have the world's largest Cheeto. They're building a whole museum around it.
Right.
And
Kenan's there to measure it for prosperity
from the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah. So they open the doors. It's like, all right, this is it. Open the doors. Turn on the fan, son. It's like,
yeah.
You got it, Dad. He turns on the fan. The fan causes the Cheeto to tip over, fall into the fan, and then a large burst of like orange smoke and mist go throughout the whole...
Everyone's covered in Cheeto dust.
Everyone's covered in Cheeto.
And the world's largest Cheeto is no more.
Is destroyed.
It is pulverized.
Yes, exactly. And everybody's distraught. Then the dad's like, yeah, my whole life savings was in that. Mm-hmm. The wife, who wasn't crazy about this to begin with,
right,
is like...
What are you planning next? Divorce.
Yeah.
And
then that's pretty much it.
That was it. It was
visual.
It was a weird sketch. It was really just all building up to that one gag. And
yeah, it was... Yeah, that was pretty much it. It was like a lot of build up just to cover everybody in Cheeto dust.
Yeah, and then it just like, deflated very quickly.
Yeah, I was like, all right, okay.
Yeah, not much to say about this one. It was just weird. I was like, okay, why is this so far up in the show?
Yeah, this
seems like something you do in the back half hour.
Yeah, especially with all the cleanup. I mean, like,
exactly.
Like, just put it in the back so you don't have to clean up as much.
Exactly.
What the flip?
It's just impressive that they got the Cheeto dust off of everybody.
Yeah, that is true.
But I mean, this was right before the musical guest and Weekend Update, so I guess they did have a fair amount of time to clean up. So everybody probably got to go back to their dressing room, take a quick shower or something.
I guess so. Oh, they have showers? Do they have showers at the?
I don't know.
I would assume. Like the YMCA, just like a towel off kids?
I would hope that they have showers or something, because they put in a lot of long hours at the show.
I guess. I never thought about that.
I don't know. I was assuming that they did, but maybe they don't. Hmm. I hope they do.
Maybe they do, because like, they do work long hours there, and you know, I'm sure you get gamey at some point. Like, maybe you don't have time to go home for a shower.
You know, it's 30 Rock, space is at a premium.
Hmm.
It probably wasn't built with a show like SNL in mind, because it's like it was originally a radio studio. So
yeah, maybe not.
I'm sure Lauren has a shower. He's got.
He's definitely got it.
He's got an executive washroom.
He's got a hot tub.
He's got a hot tub. He's got people fanning him and peeling him grapes.
Yes. The royal penis is clean, Your Highness. He's got that.
Yeah, but
he's got a hot tub.
I don't know.
In the water.
I hope they have showers, just for their sake.
That'd
be nice.
You think maybe they're just taking like hobo baths and just like a
here's a wet one. Here's a wipe yourself down.
I got some wet nets from the barbecue joint. Just use it.
Maybe they just take them outside and they just hose them all down.
Oh my god.
It's like Paul Rudd in Anchorman.
Oh yeah.
You know, when they're trying to
worse than one time the raccoon got caught in the copier.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, what a fun tangent that was.
Wow. Okay.
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, our musical guest of the week.
Yeah. I didn't know much about her. I still
don't.
Yeah. Oh, what was that?
I don't know. I'm a little staticky there.
Okay. Okay. But yeah, Billie Eilish. I mean, I know she's like came to prominence through SoundCloud.
Okay.
I know she's super young. She's like 17.
Really? I didn't know she was that young.
Yeah, no. She was born like 01. I was like, whoa.
And that math checks out. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We crunch the numbers.
Yeah.
Checks out.
All right.
Okay.
No.
I really thought you were going to...
I saw that look.
Do the clickety-clack.
No.
Okay. But yeah, and she came to prominence through SoundCloud, and now she's like a big old deal. Like, I remember seeing somebody put on Facebook or something, like some meme saying like, oh, Billie Eilish is for people... Billie Eilish is the Avril Lavigne for people who were born... after 03 or something.
Wow. All
right. That's okay. Like interesting. I guess she's
that's really specific.
Very specific. And I can see that she's kind of like oddball type of teeny.
Very quirky.
Quirky. She kind of whisper sings a lot.
Yeah.
Her
opening number, they were doing that old bit with the rotating room. They built basically like a miniature set of the music area of home base, I guess.
Right.
And as the room is rotating and she's like going around, she's like on the wall, she's on the ceiling, and the camera's rotating with the room. So it looks like she's.
Right. Think Lionel Richie's dancing on the ceiling.
Right.
It's like that.
And Fred Astaire did that in one of his movies, I know.
Oh, right.
I think that was the first time.
Yeah. But the Lionel Richie thing, I think, is better.
Or the movie Inception. Like Joseph Gordon-Levitt has that big fight scene in the rotating room. So.
It was the inception of musical performances.
It was.
Yeah. And. Yeah. So they built like a little set for her, and she was like dancing on it. But then she was dancing on the wall.
Yeah.
And she was dancing on the ceiling.
Right. And, oh, what a feeling!
Oh, what a feeling, Toyota. And like, but yeah, like you said, like the room was moving, but the camera wasn't. So that's what made it look like she was dancing.
And
but
it was
interesting.
I thought it was very interesting technically that they did that, but I can't say I was like. I was impressed from a technical standpoint, but I wasn't really impressed with the song or the performance, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the song's okay. It's, like, catchy. It's got a nice little beat. I can dance to it. It's a toe tapper.
Okay.
But it wasn't, I was more, like you said, I was more impressed by the visual than the audio.
Yeah,
the music.
Yeah. And her second number was just kind of a stripped down acoustic thing. Just her and her guitar player.
I should have looked up the names of these songs. I think the first one was Bad Guy.
Okay.
And then the acoustic one, I do not know. But I'll look it up.
All right.
But yeah, the second one was like an acoustic. It was just her and a dude with a guitar. And she was just like, you know, doing more whisper singing. Like,
just very low key. Not much to say about this. I was just like, okay, that is a thing. That certainly ate up a few minutes of airtime.
they were able to sweep up the Cheeto dust.
So I was surprised with like the rotating room thing that they had a shot early on of like they pulled back and they showed like the rotating room and then her band who were not inside the room.
Right.
And I was like, why would you expose the illusion like that right away? I mean, I guess they just wanted to show the band or maybe show off how they were doing it, but...
Yeah, that kind of takes away from the magic. I see what you mean.
Yeah, they did that so early, too. It just surprised me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Once I saw it, they're like, oh, that's how they're doing it. And then once I saw how they were doing it, I kind of didn't want to see the rest of the performance anymore because it seemed like that's all they were... They didn't have like anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, that seems like something you do at the end. Like, there's a bit that when Penn & Teller appeared on the show in the 80s, they did a whole magic set, and then at the very end... they show that they'd been suspended upside down for the entire
thing. Yeah, I remember that. I love that.
Look this up. Like Google Penn and Teller SNL, and you can find this. It's an amazing thing. And I don't. Hopefully, I've not ruined it by giving away the
spoiler.
Last gag, but
you ruined this Penn and Teller thing from like 20 years ago.
Yeah, 30.
30. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. But I mean it's amazing because they're great magicians. Yeah. Besides, but that was something. But
Penn and Teller legit. All right. So the two songs she sang, the first one was called Bad Guy.
Okay.
Second one was called I Love You. And I don't know. It was okay.
All right.
Nothing too crazy.
Nothing too crazy.
And then next up, Weekend Update.
Weekend Update.
Jostin Che.
Jostin Che.
Che.
Wow, we were like harmonizing.
I know,
that was
beautiful. That was like Boys to Men.
Wow. We're going to form a boy band after this.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to find like three other guys and
fantastic.
Just go dancing around. Or maybe we need like five other guys because like BTS has like seven guys, right?
Yeah, but then we got to choreograph. I'm more like the more crooning NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. Like we all dress in white. And
right,
like, you know,
right.
We sing to...
we're wearing the gold chains.
Yeah.
Some of us have sunglasses. One of us has a cane for some reason.
Yeah, like we're on the beach or in a forest singing to a girl.
Or on a city street at night when it's just like been sprayed down to make it look like it just rained.
Yeah.
And we're all harmonizing. Like, girl, come back to me.
Hey, girl, I love you. I love it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Some of us will have like really weird facial hair.
Yeah. Be a wind machine for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. This is going to be beautiful.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
All right.
I like this.
Anyway, so
weekend update. Yeah. Sorry.
Let's see. They're talking about the impeachment.
Right.
Che was talking about how. Like he found out how impeachment works, apparently. That was the premise anyway.
Right.
He's like, you know, impeachment takes too long. He's like, I feel like somebody explained impeachment to John Wilkes Booth, and he's like, okay, well, where's he at right now? which that was a good line. I enjoyed that.
And then they talked about Trump's tweet where he confused a hyphen with an apostrophe.
Yep. That's our president, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
our president.
But her emails, though, John.
Her emails.
What about her emails? She
had a private server. I mean,
right?
The whore.
What? You want our country in the hands of somebody like that?
No. No.
America.
No. Yeah, I'm much. But anyway, let's get to the
Jost.
Jost
was saying, it's a hyphen. Not an apostrophe. I'm sorry to be a grammar Nazi about this. I know you hate one of those things.
That's a great line.
It's a great line. You're giving Joe some praise.
Yeah, no, I mean, when he has a great line, I will give the devil its due.
All right, so there you go.
That's
good for you. There you go, man.
I mean, he did lots of other lines I didn't like, but I'm accentuating the positive.
Let's look at the
positive. Accentuating the positive, because we're all about the love here on the SNL Nerds.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah.
And, so then we had... David Ortiz come out, played by Kenan Thompson, talking about his shooting that happened in the DR where he got robbed and shot. And that was all right.
That's
You okay?
I'm so sick of this character. This was a thing that happened in June. I looked it up. It happened in June.
Yeah, I kind of forgot it happened.
Everyone's forgotten it happened. Would anybody have commented on it if they didn't address this story? It was just, I'm sure this was just to give Keenan something to do. And I was just, why is he still on the show?
I was listening to That Week in SNL. They had a joke about it saying, like, Keenan can never leave. He's a load-bearing cast member. It's like,
he's a load.
Oh, damn.
The babies who were born when Keenan first started on the show, they can vote now.
Yep.
They can vote.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just too long to be on the show.
I'm not disagreeing
with you. If your name is not Lorne Michaels, you should not still be with the show 18 years later. Unless you're like a crew member or something.
Yeah.
But a cast member.
If you're like Don Pardo, of course. But like, if 18 years is a long time. No one seems to want him to leave. He doesn't seem to want to leave.
No.
So, I mean, we're at an impasse. He's just here.
I'm just done with Keenan, I think, you know?
Wow, it's a strong feelings.
Well, I mean, I just don't think he has anything more to give to the show. I find him very predictable now.
Okay.
And I'm just like, why are you still on the show? There was no reason for this bit. It was just...
It was kind of like, all right, I don't know.
Yeah.
They kept on with some more jokes to talk about how Placido Domingo is no longer part of the Metropolitan.
I think it was the Metropolitan Opera.
Sexual abuse allegations, so he's replaced with his...
less threatening cousin, Flacido Domingo.
Yeah.
See, this is like one of those jokes that I didn't like so much.
Yeah.
So I didn't put it in my notes.
Yeah,
That's
a pretty bad dad joke. I was like,
yeah, it was just very obvious, and I'm just like, really, this made the broadcast?
Yeah, like I get it, it's like a kiddie laugh. I was like, but if I wrote this down and like submitted it, I'd be like kind of ashamed. Like,
oh. Yeah, you wouldn't feel good about yourself.
Yeah, but they had this other joke that I kind of liked where they talked about this new airport that opened in China that's the world largest terminal, can handle 72 million passengers a year, but not to be outdone, the officials at Newark just slid a coaster underneath the corner of the Newark airport to keep it from wobbling.
That's a pretty good joke.
There you go.
See,
ebbs and flows.
I appreciated that just partly because the Newark airport is my go-to airport. That's the airport I fly in and out of when I'm going to and from Jersey.
Yes, when you're jet-setting
across
the gate country
my
bars.
My big jet-set lifestyle where I fly to visit my mother for Christmas once a year.
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
As opposed to visiting her for Christmas multiple times a year, which I tried that. It seemed like a waste of money.
Oh, boy. Shout out to Miss Trumbull. I don't know.
I love you, Mom.
Shout out to Mama Trumbull.
Yeah.
Did the Weekend Update seem short to you?
It seemed very short.
Like, I was surprised. It's like, when they said, oh, the Weekend Update, I'm Joe, goodbye. I was like, what? That's it?
Yeah, yeah. Because usually they have, like, two correspondent-type people coming in or something. Or they have something, and I feel like there must have been something in the dress that got cut, and it was just very short, and they didn't...
Yeah, I guess so.
I did enjoy another thing that Che did, where he was talking about new white supremacist symbols that were added to some... dictionary or database.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, you know, the OK sign is now a white supremacist symbol.
Yeah. So I like doing the OK sign, too.
It's ruined for everyone now.
God damn it.
And, my mic.
wow, you're so angry.
And, yeah.
You're passionate.
I was making those so many white supremacist symbols, I just got carried away.
Yeah.
and the moon with sunglasses is a white supremacist symbol now?
That's a new one on me. I didn't.
So now we've ruined all those old McDonald's commercials with the singing moon.
God damn it.
I can't go on YouTube and look that up anymore. I'm going to be put on a list.
Yeah. Mac the Knight, I can't have that.
And then Che said there was a third white supremacist symbol, and then he just cuts to a photo of Colin Jost giving a thumbs up. which, savage.
Yeah.
Savage.
Jost like, hey, what the hell, man?
I just enjoy when Jost trolls, when Che trolls Jost.
Because
or Jost trolls Che, but Che is much better at it.
Yeah, he is. yeah, but yeah, I mean, it's announced the Weekend Update. It's pretty short.
It was very short.
Sure. Next, high school football locker room sketch.
Yeah, we had Woody Harrelson as the coach. He's coming in, or as the coast.
As the coast. As the coast.
He's the coach. He's coming in to give him the pep talk at halftime. Right. And they're losing badly. And then the team's name was the Corgi Dogs, which I enjoyed.
Oh, yeah, fighting that, corgis.
That was a cute touch.
Yeah.
And then Heidi Gardner comes in as his new wife, Trinity. And she just says, is your thing okay? Because it seemed in bad shape last night. It made that sound.
Yeah, and I liked how she came in. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I got lost. I was looking for like that robot that gives me candy. It's like, oh, the vending machine.
Yeah.
The way she describes things is
there were some nice, bizarre touches. She comes in like three times. She's like getting lost. She's very, very dumb.
Yeah. I mean, you can see this. It's like Heidi just doing a new character.
Right.
Pretty much. Because like you think it's going to be about Woody Harrelson, this coach giving his team like this inspiring speech.
And it's not that at all. They built the whole locker room set. They put everybody in the football uniforms for no reason. This sketch could have been anywhere.
It really could have been anywhere. The whole sketch is just about Woody Harrelson's broken penis.
His broken dong. Yeah. And
PP no work.
And she talks about, it made that weird sound like that character Mickey Duck. And then they finally work out she's talking about Donald Duck. So
not Space Jam Duck, but Mickey Duck.
Right.
The one with the fat ass.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Donald Duck?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and so we work out that his penis was making a sound like...
Yeah.
Which, not a good sound for your penis to make.
I'd go to the doctor immediately.
She says, you know, I'm the one who had to push that vein back in.
Yeah, and then everybody was like, whoa!
Yeah, and at one point, Keenan's character just goes, that's it, I'm out. And he walks out, which I enjoyed.
He leaves after, I think Trinity says, oh, yeah, then you said to call my grandma because she knows what to do.
Right.
And then Keenan's like, all right, why did you say call her grandma? And the coach is like, well, she's known my body the longest.
Right.
And then Keenan's like, all right, I'm leaving.
Right.
But yeah, this sketch was, I mean, it was just basically a showcase for Heidi to show.
Yeah, it was, I enjoyed it because it went in the unexpected direction. It was a very odd sketch, but it was cute.
Yeah.
It didn't go on too long.
Yeah, odd but cute.
Yeah.
Next up, Inside the Beltway.
Inside the Beltway, another sketch talking about the presidential impeachment.
Yeah, this one was interesting.
This was a talk show hosted by A.D. Bryant, and we had the panelists. We have Cecily, we have Woody, and we have Keenan.
Right.
As the panelists, and they're talking about how bad is this impeachment for Trump? I mean, the tide has finally turned. It's gotta. And then Keenan just goes, "Ain't nothing gonna happen."
Right.
Ain't nothing gonna happen.
And and then they all say, "No, this is it. This is the smoking gun. It's gonna happen." And he says, "No, ain't nothing gonna happen."
Right.
And then they say, "Well, you know, this isn't what like last time with when the Mueller report came out. Let's go back to that.
Let's go back 5 months ago." And then they cut back, and then everyone's in different outfits.
Yeah.
And they watch Nancy Pelosi talking about what an outrage that was.
Right, and then they had their opening graphics.
Right.
And then they all talk about how the Mueller report is a thing that's going to sink them. And, of course, Keenan, the only black panelist, says, ain't nothing going
to
happen.
Right. He's just resigned to it.
Yeah. And then they go back to the
present day.
The present day. And then they have to go back to what they were wearing then.
Right.
It seems like they made the sketch a little too complicated,
and then it felt like they kind of built the sketch around the catchphrase of just Keenan going, "Nothing gonna happen,
ain't nothing gonna happen, ain't nothing gonna happen."
And then they're like, "Oh well, hey, remember what happened in 2016?" And then they cut back and they show a clip of all the horrible things that Trump did and said in 2016. You know, all the greatest hits. I like the people who weren't captured.
Right,
grab them by the P word.
Yeah, Mexican rapist.
He played all the hits.
All the golden hits.
Yeah. and then they cut back to the present day.
Right.
And we had this big technical screw up.
Yeah, apparently because they kept having to change costumes,
because
they're going back and forth,
which is why we had the long graphics
to
give everybody time to change.
There was at one point on camera, one of the costume people were there changing 80's costume. 80 had to quickly like shoo her away.
I watched this thing over and over again, like it was the freaking Zapruder film.
Back into the list.
It was, and I mean, it looked like the costume, the wardrobe person just steps on camera at the wrong time. But I think what the real problem was they were like cueing the wrong cameras, or the director was cutting to the wrong cameras.
Right.
Because like Keenan has, like, they had the camera on Keenan when Cecily and Woody were having dialogue.
Right.
Which, so, and you never, like, see technical screw-ups like this on SNL, or hardly ever.
You see it once in a while, but this is a pretty big one.
Yeah, once in a blue moon. I don't think I've ever seen a technical screw-up like this on SNL.
Yeah, it's a big one.
And then after the wardrobe person comes on camera, the Cecily and 80 start to break. And
they broke hard.
They are losing it for the rest of the sketch. And it was very, very funny.
Yeah, it was like, they 80 could not get through her lines. It was that bad.
No,
she was like laughing through it, and it was just like,
yeah, she's barely getting through it.
It was a struggle.
I mean, and the sketch literally ends with 80's character just saying, "Go to commercial." And it's like it seems like half like 80 just broke, and she's just like, "Okay, this is a lost cause.
Let's just pull the plug. Throw in the damn towel."
But it was just so amazing. And it really makes you think, like, you hardly ever see stuff like this on SNL, because it's just such a very well put together show. The machine is in place and things run very smoothly considering that it's a live show.
Yeah,
they don't have many on camera screw ups.
But yeah, that was a big old boof.
But
oofa. Yeah.
I wish I could be a fly on the wall, like right after that sketch ended, or like right after the show ended and they're all talking about it. I would love to hear
I hope they all like kind of came in and was like, "Oh, that was funny. That was hilarious." But I hope no one got axed over that or not. But like it was.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't see the wardrobe person getting into trouble for it because I don't think it was her mistake.
Yeah,
because
I think it was the camera people.
I think it was a camera director thing.
Mm.
That's my theory.
Okay.
Anyway, possibly. With my extensive knowledge of TV production,
elementary, my
which,
dear.
And I'm Trumbull. Speaking ironically, but that's my guess.
All right. Yeah. So. But yeah, I mean, but aside from that snafu, I thought the sketch was like, it seemed like it was just all built around ain't nothing gonna happen. And
yeah, I feel like it could have been a stronger sketch if they really leaned into the flashback thing and they had so many flashbacks and it was like, basically the point was like, how many horrible things Trump has done or said.
Yeah.
And how he really hasn't suffered any consequences for it yet.
That's true.
I mean, I think that was a great idea for a sketch, and I think that's a great point to make.
Yeah, because like he has been a Teflon Don throughout the whole thing.
I did really enjoy, there was a touch where Keenan had like facial hair in the flashbacks.
They had to put facial hair on him.
And like he's putting on a fake mustache, and I think he might have had a fake goatee in the second one.
Yeah, it's like that just seemed to make
that was a nice touch, though.
It was nice, but it seemed to like because they made it. It seemed like they made it just overly complicated when they really didn't have to, because they had to like go back, change everybody's costume, then go back and say ain't nothing gonna happen. Then they had to go back, change everybody's costume back, and it was a lot.
They easily could have done those as film segments.
Yeah,
but,
like some pre-tapes.
But I think it is more fun and more challenging to do it live. So I don't blame them for trying it.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised it didn't really go off without a hitch. It's just
it was oof.
And I looked on the YouTube channel, that's the version that they put up. I was thinking like there was a good chance that they would maybe put up the dress rehearsal version, because they sometimes do that if the live show has a real big screw up in it or it doesn't go as well.
But not it showed it warts and all.
Yeah, sometimes they replace them in reruns, but I was really glad they put this version up, because it's very endearing when you see the cast members break.
Yeah, it's cute. I like it.
And it was like sincerely that they were breaking.
Yeah, it was very sincere. Like once 80 lost it, the whole just tell the whole sketch was like, all right.
I think Cecily was kind of losing it a bit, and that kind of set 80 off. And 80 unfortunately had the lion's share of dialogue for the rest of the sketch.
Yeah,
so.
And they were just like, all right, let's just call it.
But it was kind of like that. It was, all right, let's just call it. We gave it a valiant effort.
Yeah. Time of death.
Time of death. 11:45.
Next up, we have our first pre-tape.
First pre-tape of the season. The episode of the season. Downton Abbey.
Yes. It's like basically a commercial for the Downton Abbey movie coming out.
I think it's out.
It's out. Yeah,
some friends of mine have seen it. And they talk about, the king and the queen are coming, and they, you know, when is it? A year and a half. And they they say it's mostly about cleaning, and then they cut to reviews.
Right. One of the reviews were by A.O. Scott saying, "Were the stakes on this show always this low?"
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so. And as somebody who's watched a couple episodes of Downton Abbey, I was like, yeah, it's pretty much like a low stakes type of show.
Yeah, I've never watched Downton Abbey. I understand it's kind of about, I think, class differences and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically about this very aristocratic family that it's very well to do, and it kind of looks at their, you know, their lives, but then it also looks at the lives of the butlers and maids and cooks and everybody that works below them.
And it takes place in what era? In like the 1910s, 1920s?
I believe so. I think it's 1920?
Because Cecily then had like this sort of 1920s Bob thing going on.
I think it started at a certain era, but then as it's the show goes on, it moves forward. Like I think at one point it goes into like the Roaring 20s.
Yeah.
It was
the Roaring 20s.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, so I think it started off like earlier than that, and then it goes into the 20s and so on and so forth.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very kind of prim and proper in English.
Right. And then the twist at the end was it's really an ad for the Joker. It's not perfect, but at least stuff happens.
Yeah. I thought it was cute.
It was cute.
Yeah, we see Chloe Fineman again and had a bit of a part. Bowen Yang again had a little bit of a role in it.
Yeah.
One of the reviews was, "I love this film by all moms."
Yes,
it's a very mom, like show.
It was, I mean, it was a cute bit. Didn't go on too long.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
And next pre-tape, Dad.
Dad,
this is the Kyle Mooney joint.
This
Kyle Mooney all over it.
Yeah, it's just so Kyle Mooney.
Pure uncut Mooney.
He's a kid who got an F at school on his math test, and his dad, Woody Harrelson, he's a computer businessman, and he's always on his big Zach Morris cell phone,
right?
And he's too busy for his son. He's the negligent father. And then it segs into this music video, which is very DJ Jazzy Jeff Fresh Prince style,
very 90s like hip hop, like, hey, Dad, what it, I don't know, I mean, I guess I'm on a record not being the biggest fan of Kyle Mooney. And
I find him very hit and miss.
Yeah, and I thought this, I was like, I don't know.
This was a mess, I thought.
Yeah.
It was no clothes have holes, but it wasn't that great.
I thought we agreed never to speak about that again.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to open that old wound.
Triggered. Triggered, Trumbull,
but,
triggered.
God, I miss Lonely Island.
I really do. This feels like something like the Lonely Island would have done way better. It just feels like...
And maybe that's not a fair comparison, but
I mean,
I can't help but make it.
Yeah, because like the Lonely Island leaned in on 90s tropes a lot too. Yeah. And it seems like, it seems like Kyle Mooney, his thing is he leans in on awkwardness a lot.
He likes awkwardness, and he likes, you know, bad television or outdated television. And he's very quirky.
I did
like that, like Woody Harrelson's dad character, he gets a music video and then he gets a call in the music video and he wanders off in the middle.
I mean, I thought that was all right.
That was cute.
Yeah. But I don't know. He just,
I didn't hate it, but I also didn't love it. It was just kind of there.
Yeah. It was just like, oh, all right. Like he leans in on the awkwardness way more than he should. And he leaned way in on like the 90s nostalgia. It was like, hey, you remember this? Remember big phones? Remember how big they were?
Yeah.
They're really big.
I mean, they did a nice job duplicating that sort of look. But
yeah, but like it felt like it didn't really have any jokes in it.
It didn't have much bite to it.
It's like, I mean, I know there are Kyle Mooney fans that love what he does. I'm just not, I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we give Kyle his 5 minutes a week and he does his thing. And sometimes it works and a lot of times it doesn't quite seem to.
Yep. And this is one of those times.
Yeah. So, and lastly, we had Pick Your Own Apple Farm.
Yes. And this is one of my... This is the sketch I was talking about that I really like.
Okay.
Chickum's Apple Farm is basically a commercial for a apple-picking farm in upstate New York, located in a part of upstate New York that still has Confederate flags.
Yeah. great line.
As somebody who's driven through, like, upstate New York and has... I've seen a flag or two up there.
Oh, my.
There are... Yeah, like, if you go to some parts of upstate New York and, like, Pennsylvania, maybe even Jersey, I guess, but, like, you might see a Confederate flag, depending on where you go.
Okay.
It's disheartening. It's odd.
Yeah, I can see how that would be disturbing.
I was like, you guys aren't in the South. You guys know that, right?
Yeah.
You're like an hour outside of Buffalo.
And it's like, it's 2019, really? You're hanging on to this, really?
It's hate, not heritage!
It's...
Oh, wait, the other way around.
Heritage, no, you got it right the first time.
Gotcha. Okay,
you
know
got
what
it right the first time.
I fucked up the line, and then...
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
you
didn't.
Corrected the line, my friend.
Okay. But yeah, this had A.D. Bryant and Kate McKinnon as two sisters who run and... apple picking farm, and you know, for only $45, you can bring home $10 worth of apples.
Right. And it's, and Bo and Yang was like, I did it. I had fun, I guess.
Yeah. I stepped in a gopher hole and broke my foot. But my girlfriend had fun.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of quick lines here.
And we cut to Woody. He's like the drifter who came with the place.
Yes, he's a troubled man who came with the land.
Yeah.
Then they pay him in dentistry. Yeah, it's like, what our apples lack in flavor, they make up for in on the ground.
I liked when they were listing the various kinds of apples, and they were like, big and soft, small and hard, green, red. Apple.
There's like a lot of quick, cool lines, and like they talk about the petting zoo, and Woody Harrelson was like, "Oh, we found some animals, and now they're in prison. You can pet them if you pay me." And it was when they were getting the feedback from all the people of picked apples there, and like Chris Red's one of them, and he said, "Yeah, my girlfriend picked an apple so wrong that she broke the branch off the tree, and then Hank said I owe them $3,000."
Yeah.
It was I like this. That this one. Like,
it kind of reminded me of the kitties sketches that Adie and Kate do together. I mean, it was very similar to those sister characters that they play, or are they a lesbian couple? I don't even know.
I think
remember.
They were a lesbian couple in that
one. Okay, all right.
But yeah,
they were sisters in this one.
Yeah, but they had like a lot of quick lines, and then they had like a little part at the end about the Halloween hayrides. It's like, it's almost Halloween, kind of.
Yeah, and there are some teenage kids who are way too into it.
Yeah.
Like, if they pull you off the truck.
Fight like hell.
Yeah. I also like that Adie had a line towards the end. She was like, my hair's been in this long braid for 40 years. Now it just grows this way.
Yeah, and then there was one point I didn't really notice until I went back. Mm-hmm. I think at one point, because they had live animals there. They had like a donkey and a goat and stuff. I think at one point the donkey actually like brayed and made a noise. Like something like that.
That I didn't
and I think,
notice.
I think if you listen real close, you can hear it. And I think because of that, like Kate almost broke a little bit.
I noticed them breaking a little bit. And I was like, okay, that can't be residual laughter from the Inside the Beltway thing. Because that was like two things ago.
Remember that time where the costume person came on? That was funny. But I think because of that donkey brain that made her laugh a little bit.
Oh, okay. Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I didn't rewatch this one, so I didn't see.
Back into the left.
But back back into the left.
And that's the sketch. I really like this one. This was the sketch I think may have been the sketch of the night.
Okay.
Like this one and the Democratic town hall.
I think I would probably go with the Democratic town hall one, right, personally. But
fair enough.
But this was fine. It was a nice one to end the night on. And then we had the good nights. Woody's wearing a t-shirt of Greta Thunberg.
Yes.
Gives her a shout out. And it was there was a very cute moment. We saw Chloe hugging Bo and Yang.
Yeah.
They were just so giddy because they'd just done their first show.
That
was just great to see. That warmed my heart.
It's like, aw.
That was so sweet.
SNL making dreams come true.
Yeah. And I noticed Alex Moffat at the end. Alex Moffat has a mullet now, it looks like. I don't think he was wearing a wig. If that was his real hair, his hair is getting dangerously close to a mullet.
Alex Mullet?
Yeah.
Is this what we have now?
Yeah, he might be Alex Mullet now.
Oh, wow. All right.
He looked kind of like Woody Harrelson did in like the early 90s on Cheers. You remember when Woody had sort of faux mullet thing?
The power mullet.
Yeah.
It was glorious.
It was, to see.
I mean, do you think Alex Moffat has been influenced by Joey Mohawk in any way?
I don't know. I didn't see Joey Mohawk in this episode. I was very disappointed. I was really hoping to get a glimpse of Joey Mohawk, our friend.
I know.
I mean, we don't know him, but I feel like he is our friend.
He's our spirit animal. I feel like he walks in my heart. He's with me always.
I live to see a glimpse of him during those little interstitial things where they're setting up for the next sketch, but no such luck.
Single tear.
Single tear. I'm like the Indian at the side of the road.
Yeah. Native American.
Oh,
please.
Sorry.
It's heritage, not hate.
Sorry. I say that because I'm Asian.
Caucasian. Hey-o. Yeah. Waka waka.
But what did you think of the season premiere overall?
Overall, it was all right. Wasn't great.
Yeah. Overall, I didn't think it was all that great. I thought it was a little weak for a season premiere.
I won't argue with that.
You know?
I thought it was okay. I liked it, but I don't like it enough to say it was great.
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. It was a little shake. That cold open was, that left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah. I mean, I'd probably give it like a C.
That's fair.
If I had to give it a grade.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, aside from... Yeah, I'll give it a C.
Okay.
All right, so I put the word out on the Twitter sphere saying we were recording the episode
today.
Oh,
okay.
And, yeah, we got some feedback.
All right. Let's hear what they have to say.
Ruby the Rube says, do you guys think that the quick change goof in the Inside the Beltway sketch was intentional? People were saying it also happened at dress rehearsal, and the sketch was kind of dying with the audience before it happened. I was like, oh, wow. But and then That Week in SNL tweeted, that'd be absolutely shameful if that if they actually tried to reproduce that gaffe for the live show. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they just couldn't get the timing right. Then Ruby the Rube says, but you'd think after making that mistake once, they'd be super careful not to do it again. But who knows? And then John V at Green Darmonk says, then why not just cut the sketch? Sketches get cut at dress. Then Ruby the Rube says, wow, this is
a long conversation
This is heating up. Then Ruby the Rube says, they really want to get that impeachment coverage in, I guess. Then Sean at Meme is Essential. Meme Essential says, not enough impeachment jokes this week. There needs to be more. Then Ruby the Rube says, maybe this episode should just have been one 90-minute CNN parody.
Okay.
Wow. All right. So
that was quite a journey there.
Yeah, this got away from me.
That was... but, you know, it's funny you bring up Ruby the Rube, because Ruby the Rube also posted this week a little video of a thing between us and another SNL podcast, That Week in SNL.
Yeah.
And they cut together a little compare and contrast between our two shows. And I thought it's a quick thing, so I thought I would just play it, if that's cool by you.
Please do.
So I've got it here, so hang on just a minute. Yeah. I mean, I honestly try not to hate on stuff that much. I mean, just because it doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
We try to put out positivity and love out in the world, baby.
Yeah.
You know, spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
This fucking show sucks so fucking hard.
Fuck! Whatever, fuck!
I mean, it's like I hated the Californians as a sketch, but it's not really interesting or entertaining to hear me talk about how much I hated the Californians every damn week.
Like, oh my god, they're doing the 40th Californian sketch!
I don't get it. I don't get the Californians sketch. I laughed once when I saw it the first time. From then on out, dead air. From me and the audience. It doesn't even seem like the audience is into it.
Well, exactly. We're not Twitter. We're not here for anger. We're here for love. Yeah, just to be angry ranting about it all the time. I mean, what are you, a Fox News pundit? Come on.
No.
I swear to God, God! I can't deal with him every other week. Like, I hate doing this. I don't want to do it anymore. And then the next week he walks out on Studio 8H's stage and fucking farts through another Trump sketch.
That was funny. We got a kick out of that. So thank you very much to Ruby for cutting that together.
Yeah, thanks, Ruby. And as far as like them doing that intentionally, I don't think it was intentional, that whole her running out. Because that'd be kind of lame. I really just think they didn't get the timing.
No, they were sincerely breaking. There's no way they were doing that. I'm not going to say that's never happened where somebody intentionally tanks a sketch, but this was definitely not a case of it.
Yeah, I don't think that happened. Just to tank a sketch just so it would be funnier because they know they'd break. I don't know. That's not the SNL I know and love. But That Week in SNL tweeted out to say, oh, how excited were you to see Baldwin's triumphant return as Trump? Obviously, it was a clear highlight for me, and it's great to see that the writing staff has clearly upped their game for these cold opens. So funny. And, of course...
a lot of irony in that.
Of course, he's being sarcastic, because if you know the people at That Week in SNL, they truly...
As you heard in the clip that we just played.
Yes, of course.
They are not fans of Alec Baldwin as Trump.
Yeah.
They got sick of him a while back.
Yeah, so, of course, he was being... Being jokey. Then Nikki at Nick Schwartz said, very lackluster episode, except for Maya Rudolph, to be honest. And yeah, it seems like, and it's pronounced Farad, saying, yes, yep, that's playing off. Which, I don't know what that means. Here's that at Farad Muhammad.
Okay.
There we go. So yeah, it seems like a lot of people weren't wild about this episode. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's just the first episode of the new season. We got nowhere to go but up, baby.
I mean, hopefully they'll ramp up a little bit in the coming weeks. Next week, we've got Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the host and Taylor Swift as the musical guest.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge from Fleabag.
Just won some Emmys.
Yeah, Emmy winning. Mm-hmm. Emmy winner. And she also wrote on Killing Eve. I've seen Killing Eve. I have not seen Fleabag, so I don't know what to expect from her, but, you know.
Yeah, me neither. I'm going to be coming to her pretty much cold.
All right. And Taylor Swift. Yeah, you know, if you don't, I mean, I don't know, she's nice.
I know who Taylor Swift is.
There you go.
So,
oh, you're in with the in crowd, baby.
That's right. Yeah, I am hip to the music of today.
I know what the kids like today. They like the Taylor Swifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the swish swish, and that little and they dab. They do the dabs.
Okay.
They do.
All right.
Don't look at me like that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, so I think that's pretty much it for this week.
Yeah, yeah.
It's good to be back.
Yay.
Even though we didn't go anywhere, the show went somewhere, but it's good to be back in the saddle, in the swing of things.
Back
and stuff.
In the high life again.
That's right.
We're
doing the Steve Winwood.
Yes, we are.
Because we are cutting edge in our cultural references.
Taylor Swift and Steve Winwood. That's what the kids like.
That's right. That's right.
Damn straight.
Please follow us on Twitter. The show's Twitter account is at SNL Nerd Show.
Right. Please follow us. Please do. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I Incredible. Got some shows coming up. I'll be at Sunday, October 6th. I'll be in QED in Astoria, Queens on the Origin Story Show at 7 o'clock. Come through. And Monday, October 7th. I will be in Park Slope, Brooklyn at Freddy's show at 9 o'clock.
Cool, cool.
So check me out there and, I don't know what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
Find all the info on my website, DarrenCredible.com. That's D-A-R-I Incredible.
And you can find me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic. This next weekend, I'm going to be out at the... New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that.
If you're out there and you see him, if you see Trumbull, say hey.
I don't have a table or anything. I'm just going to be floating around, buzzing to and fro and
making the rounds.
Stuff.
Hobnobbing.
And we'll, you know, just try to see some cool people. I was lucky enough to get a press pass, so
woo!
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're pretty big high rollers. We get, you know.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of a big deal.
Kind of a big deal.
Got a lot of leather-bound books.
Yeah.
It smells of rich mahogany.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. And you can also follow us on non-productive.com. Check out the other shows on the Non-Productive Network.
Yes.
And lots of other fun stuff there. You can find something fun to listen to.
Yeah. Donate to the Patreon. Give us a review. It's been a while since we've gotten reviews, people.
Haven't had a review since July. We're jonesed for reviews. If you want to just rate us and review us, we would really appreciate that. We will read it on the air.
Yeah. What the flip? So. Give us some. We haven't gotten a review since David Ortiz got shot in the DR or whatever.
That's right. That's right.
Come on. Step it up, people.
But so we will see you next week. We might be dropping a little late next week because we're not going to be recording till Monday morning. Partly because I'm off at the con. But
he's out jet setting.
Yeah. I'm jet setting like I do.
Yeah, through Newark Airport.
My big jet set lifestyle.
That's right.
And my silk pajamas.
Yes.
I'm a fashionista now.
Ooh, nice.
But until then,
Nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.